College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Darren Woodson, former safety. We asked Darren, when is it time to hang it up?
Honestly?
Yeah.
Okay, so we were I used to cover the slot receiver and tight end and whomever as a safety, right? So I played the nickel all the time. This the way the nickelbacks play today, right? So we're watching film. And it was a day after – it was a practice that we had. It was a Thursday practice. And we were doing what we call one-on-ones. Mm-hmm. And I was covering someone. Now, actually, I was just watching the one-on-ones with the rest of our defensive backs. And this guy – lined up against a wide receiver, and I was like, man, that wide receiver ran right by that dude. Like, who the hell?
Oh, it's me.
It was me.
Oh.
And that was in my 11th year, and I was like, I need to stop covering the slot.
Okay.
I need to start covering.
Who
I
mean, was that receiver? Was,
yeah, it was a practice squad dude. Ran right by me, right?
Oh, my
so
goodness.
So I kind of knew then, like, I need to move from all – I was playing safety on first down, and second, third down, I was playing the nickel. I was a nickel guy, right? I was like, I need to get out of that. And Parcells agreed with me. Parcells was my coach at the time. He said, yeah, you're going to move to safety the next year.
Yeah.
But that's when I started to see
a
little bit of the fall off. But then when I had a back injury my last year, I just knew I just couldn't get back to being the same guy, the same player. So it was time
to move. So you essentially did play until the wheels came off.
The wheels came off, man. And when they came off, they came off.
They came off real fast. Yeah. And it happens overnight in this
league.
It
does, man. You know? It does. I had L4, L5, and I couldn't walk. And, it was.
That's like the lower, right?
Yeah.
So you mentioned Parcells. We were talking about him yesterday on the show, having a conversation in the early days of Andy Reid, saying, your team's not very good. Here's my number. Call me if you need help.
Right.
But you had the opportunity to play for one of the greats of all time. I'm a huge, let me just say this. I don't respect the majority of NFL head coaches. I don't think many of them are very good, right? This guy saying Duvall, like all these frauds that coach in this league. You play for one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah.
What's the difference in having somebody like a Parcells or a Reed or somebody that's that type of guy in that room versus some rando?
No panicking. There's no panic. There's no, when the bullets are flying and things are going hysterical and there's guys having problems off the field or on the field, there's always a system in place that holds you. It's like a foundation that holds you in place. We were 5 and 11, three state straight years. Parcells came in, same team, flipped us to 10 and 6, made the playoffs, same personnel. And it was just because of structure, understanding what we needed to be doing, the culture changed. And it's all those nuances. I've played against Andy Reid for, God, I can't tell you how many years. Like, this man is such a damn good coach. NFC, they were with the Eagles. Four straight NFC championships that they played in. Like, he knows how to coach. He knows how to – he relates to players well. He has a great system. And people buy into his system because of the man that he is. And I think that's the favor of having a good coach. Now – when things aren't going good, you know what you can tell what a bad coach is? They panic. They start throwing But they go off the charts, and they act differently. Players want to see consistency.
They absolutely do. And I'm an old man now, so I've read the room with these coaches. I've seen these guys come through. You could spot them from a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
And then you're like, then you got Andy Reid. Then you got Bill Parcells. Yep. Then you got a Bill Belichick. And people are starting to wonder, like, why does this Chiefs team always win? There's no tangible evidence to show why. Yeah. There's no numbers. There's all that. I think a lot of it, and really all of it, starts with that head coach, because when he came into Kansas City, the Chiefs were 2-14. Mm-hmm. We had a murder-suicide at the facility and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Flipped the 2-14 team. Basically same roster. Mm-hmm. Obviously switched out Matt Castle for Alex Smith. Yeah, but essentially the same roster. Went 11-5 and made the playoffs the next year.
Yeah. It's just different, man. He's been, it's hard when you play against him. First of all, you love the man.
Yeah.
Because he walks up to you, and I used to hate the fact that, because you try to play the Eagles, you're trying to get ramped up, and NFC East foe, it's a rivalry, and then coach walks up, and he's like, hey, you be nice today. And you're like, damn, dude, he's just.
I hate that I like you.
I like you, man. I don't know why I like you, but I do like you. But he's just special, man. And I'm always rooting for him.
Yeah.
I know what he's gone through personally in his life. I've watched him battle back. But I've also watched him build teams and watch the players who played for him. I just saw Hugh Douglas a year a minute ago.
Yep.
Sit down with him. He'll tell you what kind of man he is. He's just a great man.
Talking to Darren Woodson here on Fesco and Dusty. I want to bring this up because I think this is an interesting stat. It's one that I led with yesterday on a hit that I did at another radio station. There are only 7 players on this roster that were here 2 years ago against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
How impressive is that for Brett
Beach?
That's impressive.
That's impressive. It's impressive to watch not only the turnaround they have, but this team was heavy offense. I remember when Alex Smith came in, and then when Mahomes really took over, offense just exploded.
Oh, yeah.
And then it became, in the last couple of years, you've seen this morphing of this defense that last year, if the defense doesn't play the way they play, they don't win that one last year.
Nope.
They stepped up. And you look at a Trent McDuffie and Chris Jones and the guys they have, they understand their role within this team. And I think that's, to me, is what's been the most prevalent of all the things that have gone on with this organization, the turnaround and different players and all. They just believe in their system. Mm-hmm. Like that, more than anything. They just believe in Spag and what Spag's throwing out there. They're eating it up and they're going with it.
Right. So what would you do if you were playing against the Chiefs on Sunday? You're getting ready to line up in that safety position. You're looking at Patrick Mahomes, the whole thing. How would you try to shut them down? Can you try to shut them down?
One, you cannot win. On third down, you can't let Kelce beat you on third down. You can't. Kelce,
or Pat to get out and run on third down.
Absolutely. That's the biggest problem because he is the factor of him using his legs to maneuver through the pocket and buying time. That's what sucks about playing against, as a safety, playing against a quarterback like Mahomes. It's not like he's just going to run and take off all the time, but he buys time for receivers. And you can only cover, I don't care if you're Deion Sanders, if you're Rod Woodson, it's hard to cover a receiver for longer than 2.5 seconds. I'm counting in my head.
That's a long time.
So when he's buying time, and it wears you down. So he goes and gets it with his legs, and it's like, damn.
It's a heartbreaker, right? Like it's a dagger in the heart.
It's a dagger, man. So you're always trying to make sure you control him, but you got to have matchups. You got to stay with your guys longer than you're used to staying with. So
again, we're talking to Darren Woodson here. So I want to ask you this, Spagnuolo. Like, what would you do to, like, if knowing what you know now, to have him, and I'm sure you had great defensive coordinators, not to take anything away from them, but to play under his system and his sort of leadership, what's that like to see?
I like the
wish you could have to play for that.
You know what, man? You know what I like about Spag? He's going to draw up something.
Yeah.
He's drawing up something that you know, just it's like a mastermind. You're giving him 2 weeks, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he's drawing up something that's going to make Hurts really have to think about protection, where it's coming from. And I think it's kind of out there right now that if you get Jalen, if it's 3rd and 5 and you get Jalen Hurts off his spot and make him start to think and see things coming and take his eyes off the receivers, you got him out.
Can you read that as a defender? Like, immediately, like, we got him. Today.
Oh, got him.
How do you know? Like, what do you look at?
Because when you start to look, when he starts to flinch and look at things and holds the protection, watch quarterbacks. They'll hold the protection for a little bit, thinking about, okay, where the hell? I know it's coming.
Yeah.
But where is it coming from? That's when you know. And I watched back just throughout the playoffs. Even against, I think it was the Texans, you started to see him bring these little wrinkles, these little nuances. They played him once, then they came back and played him again. And the second time, the pressure looked like it was coming from one, but it came from the opposite side. And it just freezes you for a little bit, and it gives you time to get there, right? So I like the way they play. But I also like the talent, man. I like the linebacking core.
Yep.
I mean, people don't give them enough credit. They will punch you in the mouth now. Mm-hmm. They'll get after you.
They will. Bolton will absolutely.
And that damn number 22,
yeah,
McDuffie,
stud.
He doesn't get enough credit. Stud. He never lost
in the playoffs.
I have a buddy of mine.
That whole 22 draft class, it's never lost in the playoffs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I got a buddy of mine who's a big Chiefs fan watching the game with me last week. McDuffie gave up 2 weeks ago a touchdown pass to Buffalo.
Right.
And it was Hollis. Yeah. It was a contested throw. Great throw. Good catch, touchdown pass. My buddy's like, McDuffie. I said, dude, do you know how many one-on-ones? That dude lives on the island.
Yeah.
He's not just mortgaging. He lives on the island for 80 plays.
That's right.
He's going to give up a play, but he is a shutdown. He's a Revis type of dude, man.
And to go back to your point about Spags dialing it up,
Who was the guy that got in Josh Allen's face the very last play of the game?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. That's it. That was it.
But see, you say all that and you put all that out there, and people are still like, they're not scoring enough points. It's ridiculous. Like, there are certain fans that are just never going to be happy no matter what they do.
Oh, my God, dude. Hey, you're talking to a Cowboy fan now. Sorry. Shut up. I don't care if they win 3-0. A win is a win.
Exactly. Yeah. And in this league, it's so hard to win. Speaking of winning, Choctaw Casinos and Resorts, my man.
Casinos and Resorts, just in southeast Oklahoma, just across the border in Durant, Oklahoma. I live in Dallas-Fort Worth. It's a 60-minute drive for me. Everything you can imagine within a casino, they have the steakhouses, the outdoor pool systems. They got the big convention center where they do best concerts in the world. Kevin Hart was there a couple of weeks ago. I mean, it's just so many good. Good feeling. I take my kids out there. We have a great time, man.
Yeah.
It's just a great resort to be at. And at the same time, if you're ever in Dallas, don't even think about flying to Vegas. Go right down 75, 45, 50-minute drive to Choctaw Casino. Have a good time.
Half Cherokee and Choctaw.
There you go.
So we'll wrap this up. You've already said it. No way you're taking Philly in this game. Can't do it, won't do it, not going to do it?
No, man. Look, hey, I don't mind Philly. Look, I don't I'm past that point.
Okay.
You know, still, but I don't like any of the NFC East teams, but I do, there's a respect factor for them. Yeah. And I think they are a very, very good team. I'm just in the midst of greatness right now.
So you're
going
Chiefs?
I'm going Chiefs, man. I just, until someone beats them, until someone tells 1-5, hey, dude, no, we're going to sit up on the championship table. Until someone does it, then.
Are you willing to concede he's the greatest of all time if he three-peats?
No. Because there was a dude a couple of years ago. I don't know how many he went to. How many of these does he
have? He went to 10, won 7.
He won 7. Well, Brady.
Yeah, but Bill Russell won 7 rings. Nah, is he considered the best NBA player?
No. Look, I would say this. In this generation, we're watching Pat Mahomes become probably the greatest. Mm-hmm. I think he's on the way. I think even if he wins this one, you can put him in there because he's done it in, 7 years?
Yeah, and he's got nothing but time. So.
And he's got time on his hands. So, you know, I think he's the best quarterback in football. But if you're going to say of all time, Brady's got 7 rings, man.